And then they are usually scarred because they have some kind of like negative encounters with lampreys or something called a cookie cutter shark.
What's that?
I don't know. Something with no imagination, I guess. I have no idea. I've never heard of cookie cutter sharks.
Yeah, it's like a basic shark.
Yeah, basic.
Like pumpkin spice latte.
It's the Becky of sharks. Yeah. Is what it is. It's just a shark. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Okay.
All right, so Katie's going to kick off.
That's right, I'm going to kick it off.
With some gold.
This is a segment called Advice on Advice.
Oh, this is Advice on Advice, where we get advice from the internet or from Michael F. that's unqualified.
And it stinks.
And we want to improve upon it by giving our advice on the advice. So if there's still hashtags, hashtag advice on advice.
That's right. So our gold standard listener, Michael F.
Yeah.
Sent us
MVP.
Some, yes. Right. That's right.
Yes.
An MVP.
He's the MVP.
Sent us some advice, and okay. He just said, kind of, here you go, advice on advice.
He didn't say anything else?
He didn't say anything else, because it kind of speaks for itself.
Okay.
Ready?
Usually he gives a little, a warm-up,
Just right into the advice. Yeah,
right.
Just right into the advice.
I'm scared.
Okay. My girlfriend masturbates after we have sex.
Oh.
Why?
Because you suck.
I have been in a relationship for 9 months. I thought the sex was good for us both. But when we finish, she tells me to shower. I wondered why, and now I know. She masturbates. She's done it multiple times. I think she's insatiable. What do I do?
Insatiable? She hasn't been satisfied once.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? She's trying to be nice about it. She's like, why don't you, go take a shower, clean up. Give me a few minutes. I got to rub one out. Jeez, that poor woman. At least she's being gracious about it, though.
I know, yeah. And
what, did he catch her doing it?
I guess so.
So he, like, what, he started the shower, and he was like, hey, hon, oh, sorry.
Well, yeah.
I didn't mean to bust in on that, on the two of you.
On the two.
Like, doing your thing.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Is
so
this a young person?
This is a young person, yeah.
I feel like a guy should be able to...
I think she's insatiable. Like, I can't... He already has his hands in the air, like, I can't do anything about this.
Yeah, I finished.
I did mine moments ago.
Yeah. Moments ago. I was done. I wasted no time getting to the finish line.
Yeah. And she's insatiable.
Has this guy not heard of a round two?
Oh, my God.
He's if he's a young guy, he should be able to get it back together again. But otherwise, as we always say, dude, what's in your repertoire?
Like, yeah.
Come on.
You need to then seriously revisit what you're doing.
Yeah.
And have a conversation.
Yeah.
Talk to her about what she likes.
Maybe you need to go first and then come back.
And
I don't know. All right.
Or anyway. So here's the advice.
Michael F.
Okay. Here's the advice. Do nothing. Have your shower and let her get on with it.
Do nothing.
Such behavior is very common, and you need not to worry that she discreetly dislikes making love to you.
Huh? That's, okay.
That's not what happened. That's not what happened. It's not that she dislikes
She doesn't want to hurt his feelings.
Yeah.
He's a Minuteman.
Yeah.
You know? He's fine. He's quick on the jaw.
Oh, yeah. Many women crave a second orgasm. Or even a first
orgasm. Or even a first one. Or just something that lasts a little longer than a commercial.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially if she has been super aroused during intercourse.
Okay.
Perhaps she doesn't want to bother you for that extra pleasuring, or maybe...
Is there any such thing as that? That's like spare change. Doesn't exist.
Right? Extra pleasuring.
Extra.
I already had my allotment, but I would like some more,
you
sir.
You had, your two
more
rubs.
More Oliver with the bowl.
Yes, please,
more,
sir.
Please, sir, may I have some more pleasure?
More pleasure.
Or maybe she's afraid you might think of her as too demanding. Many people, male or female, find the type of orgasm they have during masturbation.
Could have just said many people.
Yeah. Many people, male.
People.
To be quantitatively different from what is experienced during lovemaking. They find masturbation produces a deeply satisfying orgasm without the anxiety that can accompany partner sex.
I don't think that's what's happening here
at all. Sex with you could be fulfilling for her in a myriad of ways that cannot be reproduced during masturbation, yet she just happens to want that extra one.
I'm telling you, it's the first one. She's probably really one. Like...
Oh. And it's not extra.
No. There's no such thing as extra.
Extra. No.
You know? It's like extra kindness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just, there can't be enough of it.
Yeah.
This woman just is not satisfied. The dude is terrible.
Yeah.
Or inattentive.
Yeah.
Maybe she doesn't feel comfortable talking about it with him. Maybe she doesn't know how to. And she's like a lot of women are like, you know, I'll just do this myself. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
For a lot of things. A lot of women are like, you know what? It's not worth my time to try to explain to this dude. If for those of you out there who have had a lot of experience with this kind of thing, you know, it's really hard to tell someone that they're not great in bed without sounding like an asshole.
Right.
It's like exactly like if your breath is stanky, there's no nice way for me to tell you.
No.
Where you won't get upset.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So instead of giving you a mint, I guess I'm just spraying, you know, Fanaca up my own nostrils after I tell you to go take a shower. I don't know. Like... That's terrible advice.
Yeah, she goes on to say, you may call that insatiable. I would call her sexually proficient. And you lucky.
Proficient.
And you lucky that she is so aroused by you. Why is this woman, the advice giver, making him feel good about
I don't
himself?
Know. He needs to get down there with some oral sex or something.
Yeah. You might, you might also consider the possibility that she is truly multi-orgasmic. If you wish
I don't
to
think
participate,
she's had one orgasm, though. He didn't mention that.
Yeah.
Did he say anything about her in his little piece, other than she's flicking the bean after he, you know, after he takes off?
Wait, say that again? Don't say that again, but what?
Like, did he mention, like, in his original, his question, did he mention her?
No.
Having a good time?
No. He says he's been in a relationship and the sex is good for both of us, but when we finish, she tells me to shower. And then she masturbates while he's in the shower.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. If you wish to participate beyond your established lovemaking pattern, ask what she would...
Participate?
Yeah.
This is a two-man sport, people.
What exactly she would like you to do for her after you have climaxed.
Okay. That right there, that last piece, that person could have gone back, edited,
and yes,
deleted everything else, and just said, why don't you ask her what she would like afterwards?
Yeah. Be prepared to follow orders exactly or be told to hit the showers. All of this attitude here is unnecessary. The idea that it's extra, that he needs to be, like, fluffed up even more. Like, hey, guy.
But then she throws it. It's like, do whatever. Just do what she say.
Yeah.
Do whatever she says.
Exactly.
That's inconsistent.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
At the same time, if that person deleted all the rest of it, I would accept them being like, you know what? Why don't you ask her what she wants and then do it.
Yeah.
Or...
There's nothing wrong with her.
There's no extra, but like, just say, hey, what is it that you would like? If the situation is that she enjoys doing that, then that's fine too.
And that it's so...
But most dudes...
Sex is so male-centric. It's like, they finish in his mind.
In his mind, they're done. But also, what dude doesn't want to see their woman enjoying herself?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Who leaves the room for that? Like, most dudes, if they found out their women were self-pleasuring, they're like, I'm not getting the shower. I'm just right here with a sandwich. You know what I mean? Like, why would you leave, you know?
Yeah, right.
Why
would
you leave? Like, isn't that something that guys want to see?
Yeah. I know.
Right?
Right.
Like, there's a whole...
She's probably like, he is not doing his job. He's not getting a show.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, like, get out of here.
Yeah, you're not going to hang around for this.
Yeah.
I'd like it, too, if, like, he comes back into the room. She's like, nothing going on here. Nothing to see here, buddy.
Go.
He throws a towel over himself. Nothing going on.
Nothing's happening.
Yeah. It's an itch.
Yeah. So, Michael, thank you for sending this along.
That's interesting. That's terrible, terrible, terrible advice.
And the whole idea, she's insatiable. She has, she just wants to go for more than 3 minutes.
Yes. And I can't have it. I'm sent out of the room.
What is that?
Who leaves right away? Okay.
What's wrong with her?
Yeah. Well, and she probably likes this guy, too. And she's like, you know what?
He's probably nice.
There's
yeah.
a lot of really good things about him. He just doesn't really bring it in the bedroom.
Sure.
So I have something in this here. This is not segment related. I just thought it was creepy. Michigan woman tells tale of being trapped 700 feet underground for more than 3 hours.
Yeah, I don't like it.
So she went to Carlsbad Caverns National Park.
All right.
And apparently, you can go into an elevator, which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
And you go hundreds and hundreds of feet down, mm-hmm. I guess, to get to where the caverns are.
All right.
So I've been to Luray Caverns. I don't know if you've been to Luray Caverns.
No.
But like most of the caverns I've been to, you walk in.
Yeah.
And you just go further and further down until you get to, you know, the base of the thing or whatever.
Right, right, right.
I've never noticed there to be an escalator or like an elevator or any of that kind of stuff. So for 3 hours, she had no food, one bottle of water. She and I think her son were trapped 700 feet down in the
elevator.
3 hours
with no food.
I know. No food and one bottle of water. So they get, what does it say here? So they're in the elevator. There's a huge jolt in the elevator. And we realize this is not normal, says Kirsten Goronsky of Ypsilanti. She was trapped in there with her son and her aunt for 3 hours. So there's a phone in there. So she called and was like, hey, I think we're stuck. And they said, yes, as a matter of fact, you are. Why didn't they call her?
Yeah.
Maybe they were like, maybe they won't notice.
They won't notice. They'll just having a good old time.
The elevator doors are like regular elevator doors. So there are some windows in them. And there's windows apparently on the side. And all you can see when you look out is rock. Because it's like a shaft.
That's enough to really send you into a...
Exactly. Having a fit.
Yeah.
So they said seconds turned to minutes and then hours before help arrived. It dawned on us about an hour and it wasn't going to be easily resolved. So why are they on the phone the whole time with these people? Or are they like, look, we'll call you back.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. So the park ranger gave them two options to be rescued. Option one.
Is to get out or stay. Yes. I don't know.
I'm like, where's Liam Neeson at this point? Yeah. Option one is they bring down the second elevator car, put it in alignment with the car that they're in, open up the hatch.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like an alien movie.
Yeah.
Open up the hatch, and then they crawl through a panel from one car to the other.
All right.
Then they would bring a fireman in, they would put us in a harness, and then at one time, they would climb up a ladder and be transferred to the broken car, out of the broken car into a working elevator.
Okay.
I don't like this.
It doesn't sound great.
It doesn't
What's
sound
the
great?
Other option?
The other option is worse. Option two is that the fire department recently purchased 900 feet of rope. And option two is to strap you into harness, and then, I guess, pull you up 700 feet and up the elevator shaft.
Well, that one, it's like, hey, we just got all this rope.
Yes.
Now is our chance to do something.
That's exactly what happened. So they reported later that the fire department had just trained for a situation like this. So they were probably like, come on, man, go for the option two. Like, we just worked on this.
Yeah, we're fresh.
So
we haven't done it before.
Yeah, we've done it. We have this rope.
Yeah.
So they went for the bringing down the second elevator car and then climbing from one to the other, and they were able to get out. But what a nightmare. Like, I'm not a claustrophobic person.
They opted for the elevator?
Yeah, I think I might go for the rope.
No.
I'm already not happy about what's happening with the elevator.
Yeah.
Like the
and who says that elevator is going to stop exactly where it should?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if one elevator doesn't work, like, I don't want your other elevator.
Yeah.
Because I'm not feeling really good about elevator systems right now in Carlsbad Caverns. I might go for the rope and just haul me up.
I get it.
Just make it work. Leave the aunt down there.
Yeah.
Moving on. So what a nightmare. Okay.
Oh, boy.
So I just thought I'd bring them up. I thought that was weird. That goes under my list of, like, things maybe to skip on vacation. Mm-hmm. Is going down, like, an elevator shaft 1,000 feet into the earth.
I feel like probably I'm not going to do that.
You don't need to do that.
Yeah.
You know? Skip
we're already going to the subways.
Yeah, it's enough. And that's sometimes enough. I don't feel like doing that. Like, sometimes I'm just not up for it. All right, what do you have?
Okay, well, this is a listener mail and Tales from the Campfire.
Oh, awesome. So if you want to contact us, our email is heyyouknowit@gmail.com. We will not keep your email, sell it to anyone, identify you in any shape or form.
Right, right, right.
We're not Facebook.
This is from Carmen. She writes, hi, Carmen again. Found some more spooky stuff on Twitter. I gotta stop clicking on creepy links on there. But thought you guys might be freaked out like I was.
On Twitter?
Apparently, yeah. There's a link to an article from Jezebel.
She says,
apparently this was a scary story contest and the best 11 were picked.
Oof.
So, okay. So Carmen sends this. Carmen, you sent this. And, of course, I'm reading emails at night.
Of course.
So I'm like, I can't read this at night because then I'll be sleeping with the lights on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is it creepy?
I had to wait till daybreak to read it. So I said, you know, I'm like, you know, even just thinking about this, I'm getting scared. I don't even know what's there, but I'm scared. So I had to go and watch videos of babies falling asleep eating ice cream.
Ooh.
That's really
I didn't
cute.
Know that was a thing.
It is a thing. And it's funny.
Wow.
Little babies, like in strollers or car seats.
Are people setting these babies up for this, or is this, like, casual?
I don't know. I don't know the back story on them, but it's funny.
Okay.
And it's cute.
All right.
Because they're trying to eat ice cream, but they're trying not to fall asleep.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
So, with that in mind, the segment. So, Tales from Dirt Campfire is a segment where we find tales on the internet of the paranormal, fake lore, folklore, scary stuff, and we tell it here around the digital campfire.
Yeah, so gather around, listeners. This one is called Love, M.
Ew.
When I was in high school, one of my friends was very into playing with Ouija boards. She was living with her grandparents because of her family situation, and I was living on my own because of mine.
Wow.
I know.
All right.
I really like going over to her house because I was very lonely a lot of the time, and her grandmother always had a full pantry.
Nice. Yeah.
My friend and I used to hang out in her room for hours, smoking and trying to contact dead celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ouija board worked. The planchette moved. We had conversations with whoever.
I didn't know that's what it was called.
Yeah.
A planchette. Yeah. Wow. Okay. The more you know.
Although never Marilyn Monroe, we both secretly hoped would happen. We did talk to someone whose name started with M.
Okay.
Actually, M was the only name they ever gave. The planchette would start to move in a really fast, aggressive triangle when M showed up, and M was bad news. M's defining feature was that he or she did not like me at all.
Wow. For some reason, I am envisioning, like, one of the girl gangs from Greece. Like, you know what I mean? That's what I think of M. Yeah.
Coming in like a Rizzo type.
Yeah, she's got her hair, like, done up.
Mm. M would always spell out terrible things about me, about how and when I would die and all kinds of things.
Wow.
I know the Ouija is subconscious or not so subconscious movement, right? But it seems very purposeful and real somehow. Even if we invited other people over to play, M would show up. It was creepy.
Are you trying to box me out? I don't think so.
Eventually, we moved on to some other pastime and I stopped thinking about it. A few months into our senior year, my friend and I had fallen out and stopped speaking. I didn't have a lot of other friends at the time. Hard to believe that a manic depressive poetry nerd with a Ouija enemy was not very popular, but it's true.
Yeah, shocking.
Yeah. After school, I used to go back to my little apartment where I lived alone and listen to music and read and try to get the one channel I could get on my ancient TV.
This is from the past, though.
Yeah.
This is somewhere, okay.
I was bored. I wanted someone to talk to. Guess where this is going? I started to play Ouija by myself. Do that.
Are you kidding me? You sound like an intelligent person. What happened?
Super lonely.
Come on.
Yeah.
M? He's waiting.
So, using a Ouija board, I drawn, and it worked. Or I made it work.
That's
or
even
whatever.
Worse.
I know.
Those are like the most dangerous ones. You just scrawl something on a piece of paper.
I don't think so.
Use like a guitar pick for the planchette.
Yep.
No
yep.
thanks.
Eventually, M showed up again with triangles and nasty words and messages of doom. And even though I was pretty sure M was some kind of creation of my self-hating subconscious, I decided not to play anymore.
Good idea.
Things started to get a bit weird. At first, it was dishes clattering in the kitchen. Not constantly, just occasionally. The first few times.
How often does it have to be before you're like, this isn't on?
Yeah, I know.
Like, you know, I'm saying maybe twice.
The first few times I went to check it out, but I didn't see anything. After a while, I stopped getting up to look, but the noises kept happening. I started to get uncomfortable in the apartment. Have you ever had a bad feeling about a place? It's like seriously bad vibes. I felt that way in my apartment, particularly in the bathroom. I figured I was being silly, lonely, and over-imaginative.
Take the mirror out.
I know, right?
Like,
all right.
Take it out.
Take out the mirror, because
yes.
That's a portal.
I hate mirrors.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like them at all. I have a lot of them in my house, but like I use them just for decorating and to reflect light, but I try not to look into them.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
Why?
I just don't like it. There's something
weird.
About it. Yeah, it's weird.
All right. Well,
also, you know, if you look at your face for too long, like...
Oh, yeah, it gets weird, right?
It gets real weird.
They say that, you have to, like, sage them.
And like, I have a lot of old mirrors, too.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't even know what's trapped in there.
I know. I have a hand mirror that I got at a yard sale. I just keep it face down.
Mm. Why do you have it?
Because it's pretty. You know what I mean? It's pretty. It came with a set of things that seemed okay. And I just saw it at the yard sale, and I was like, I'm going to buy that. My friend was like, really? You don't even like mirrors. I was like, I'm taking it.
Uh-oh.
So I got it. It's at home, but I keep it face down.
Okay.
Because it's one of those ones that, like, you feel like if you look into it for too
Something's
long, like,
gonna look over
Joan
your shoulder.
Crawford or somebody is going to come out with some unkind words.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, right? Or the personality of the previous owner
exactly.
is going to be transferred to you.
Yeah.
Okay, so one night I was doing some drawing in my sketchbook. I did some paintings, too, because I was painting for props for a play, and I was on the crew for school, and I was waiting for them to draw.
Boy, you were not popular at all. I knew these girls.
I went to bed with everything laid out on the living room floor. The next morning when I woke up, I went into the living room. I didn't have my glasses on, so everything was kind of blurry. I saw my paintings and the finished props and thought, oh good, those are dry. And I was about to get dressed when I noticed something else on the floor. It looked like another painting. I went closer. It was a page torn out of my sketchbook and turned over so the image was on the back.
Girl, run.
It was a message. It looked like it had been written by a finger dipped in paint, in red paint, and it just said die in big red letters.
Maybe it was German. D.
No. In the bottom right-hand corner was M, and the paper was scorched, burnt around the edges, big brown singes in the middle of the page. That was the worst part, because for a second I thought, well, maybe I was sleepwalking in and legibly wrote a message to myself on
the
paper and with everything up when I was
with my finger.
Yeah. Really? But like, there would be paint, like if you were sleepwalking, there would be like...
But she's saying, apparently she's very neat, even when sleepwalking.
Right. But the scorching made it real. I stood there feeling like someone had dropped a cold stone into my stomach for quite a while, holding this horrible thing. And my choices were really that I'd done it, and I couldn't remember that someone else had broken in and done this very specific thing and left me without me hearing.
A cold stone? Sorry. I got caught up in the imagery of, okay, sure.
All the choices were too unsettling, and I decided to get out of the apartment, but I brought the paper with me because I wanted to tell someone about it, and I knew no one would believe me without the proof. I went to school but didn't go to class. I told a couple of friends about this, and they agreed that the message should be destroyed. So we took it. So we took it in the field behind the school and burned it. And I hung out in a coffee shop as long as I could after school so I wouldn't have to go home. But eventually I had to.
Mm-hmm. I feel like this took place in the 90s.
Yeah. There was something that looked like purple lipstick on the wall next to my door to my apartment.
Again, girl, run.
When I got closer, I could see it was an M. I left the apartment a couple of weeks later. I haven't heard from M since, but 20 years later, thinking about playing Ouija still makes me very, very nervous.
Wow. Yeah, we're right. This is someone who's around our age.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah, because you could get away with emancipating yourself back in the 90s. Like, I had some friends who were like, I'm out of here. And like, God, please, I don't think you can do that now.
Carmen, I was very scared reading this and the other ones too.
Ooh, there are more?
There are more.
No,
there
thanks. More. That's scary.
You gotta get...
Thanks for sending that in.
Let
me
you.
See if I can come up with something that's not scary.
I got the four R's.
To all that was 40th Street. Hashtag #NYC.
So I found this, and actually my husband Greg showed this. It was a video, because he was like, I don't know. I said, we'll find an article that goes with it. So basically, there was a car full of tourists on an African safari, and for whatever reasons, it was like an open vehicle.
Why?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I don't even want to go in like the Hall of Presidents in an open vehicle for animatronics. I'm not interested. So it says they're looking at a cheetah that was in the front.
Yes.
Right, that was like, hey, check me out. Yeah. What they didn't realize was that another, like the cheetah's brother or part of whatever the group that the cheetah was with, came around the side, jumped into the car, into the back seat.
Oh my God.
So in the video, you can, the tourists, everything's being filmed, of course, because everyone wants to show like, hey, look, we drove around Africa. Mm-hmm. So the guide says, don't move. The cheetah is in the back seat. This rando white guy who's like the tourist is just sitting there breathing as slowly as he possibly can for 10 minutes as this cheetah is like gnawing on stuff in the back of the car, like checking things out.
Where was the guide?
This is the guy, they were all in the car together.
Oh, okay. And the guide's like.
The guy's like, don't move. So I don't understand how, one, they couldn't figure out what the animals were doing. Anyone who's seen Jurassic Park knows that when you're looking at an animal that's in front of you, that's like keeping your attention, there's probably another animal.
Right. Flanking the side.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Flanking you, checking things out. But just to like, it was an American tourist. He's in the video. They're watching three cheetahs in front. So this, again, is suspicious.
Yes.
They probably couldn't believe their luck. Then a fourth cheetah comes around the side and then hops on the front of the vehicle. It was probably like, I'll get their attention for real. And then their bro hops in the back and starts munching on stuff and checking them out to see if they're dangerous. The guide says that just to stay still because they're just trying to sniff you to make sure that you're not a threat. I have no idea how the guy was there. He probably peed himself.
I'm sure he, I mean.
But the video, you can watch him just sit, he's just sitting there. He said he tried to slow his breathing. What the fuck were you doing? Right,
and did they say you can't make eye contact?
Yeah, don't make eye contact. So all you can do is just sit there and wait and hope that the cheetah decides it doesn't want any part of you.
I get so confused, and I can never keep it straight. I feel like I want to know, in case I'm in these situations, how to handle animals.
You can't look at them, because then they take that as a challenge.
But with bears, I think you look at them, but don't smile.
And then you're supposed to make noise. Yeah, they said make yourself big.
Make yourself big.
Yeah, like an
don't
X.
Don't smile, keep your mouth closed.
And you can yell, like, bear. like you would see on the TV show.
Yeah, but you can look at them or not. And then I'm like, wait a minute. I think it's only black bears you can look at, but other bears, you have to look away. And you have to walk backwards slowly, or you have to turn your back on them. And
but then there's some that you just don't do anything.
Yeah.
Where you just, like, keep it real.
I need, like, a chart.
And then some that, like, lay on the ground. I'm like, what? I don't know what's going on. And then, a chart.
Right.
The animal response chart.
Right. And I know with alligators, they can run 60 miles an hour.
You run in a zigzag, right?
Right. And you run in a serpentine kind of way, because they can't make those turns.
Supposedly. Although, that's going to be...
I'll be running zigzag from a bear.
Luckily, the guide was there. But again, this is just like going down the mine shaft in the elevator. Maybe things that you don't need to do on your vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So then we were talking about, I've never wanted to go on a safari. Mm-hmm. I love to watch animal shows, but I feel like we need to leave them alone and let them be in their habitat. I don't need to see a cheetah in the wild. I just don't.
Yeah,
I know it's there. It's fine. Right?
Right.
But the scary thing about this is you don't have a choice because you cannot outrun a cheetah. There's nothing you can do. You just have to sit there and be like, well, I hope I don't get eaten.
That's right.
Nothing you could do will protect yourself from a cheetah. Anyway, it's a bizarre video. And I'm glad the guy made it. But like, really? An open vehicle? Like, there's some neighborhoods I don't want to ride around in an open vehicle.
I know. Like, when you're riding, if you're in their territory, in an open vehicle, it's...
They have the right to come up and do whatever they want. Yeah. I'll just give the keys. Fuck it. I'll just throw the keys into the car, throw a deer carcass in there, and just walk away. I don't know. All right, I also found this other thing about sharks.
Okay.
So there's a shark called a basking shark. They are some of the largest sharks. They only eat plankton. They have gigantic mouths.
Right.
Gigantic mouths.
I love they use their teeth as a sieve.
Yeah. So they just keep their mouths open and then they swim around.
And then they shoot the water out.
So previously they were thought to just get together in groups of like 10, 15, maybe even 20. But they said in the past couple of months, they have observed groups of up to 1,400 of them.
It's kind of like when they eat, it's like we drink Blizzards. It's like you suck in all the milkshake with candy, swallow the liquid, and chew on the candy.
So they're four groups.
Oh, anyway, but they're... Yeah.
There's,
I'm still stuck, you're still stuck there on the team.
They're just fine.
Yeah.
I have some facts about them.
Okay.
But up to 1,400 sharks have been seen together in a group. And they've seen them from Nova Scotia to Long Island. All right? So they're coming, you know, this way. And they said, well, we can't figure out, you know, why they're in a group together. Why do you think they're in a group together? Like, what...
Why not?
You know what I mean? Like, does there have to be a reason for why they're in a group together? Like, hanging out.
Yeah.
It could be social. It could be like, you know, if you see a bunch of sharks doing something and you're a shark on your own, it's like, hey, why not join those guys?
Yeah, we travel for safety.
Yeah, and just go together. Maybe it's fun. Who knows? All right, so the fun facts about...
Maybe it's fun. It is.
Like, I was watching a documentary about flamingos. You know how you always see... In cartoons, they make fun of flamingos, like, getting together and, like, running in a group.
Mm-hmm.
They do that. And they can't figure out why. And I'm watching the video. I'm like, well, it looks like fun.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, the Macarena or something. It's like they get together.
You want them to be bored? Or maybe it's like their equivalent of a 5K.
Yeah.
These sharks.
Or maybe you know, it's like a club.
Maybe aliens look at us and they say, oh, why are they all those people running down the street? Nothing's chasing
them. Why are 9 million people shoved into the, you know, Triboro area or whatever? Yeah. All right. So fun facts about the basking shark, which I thought was interesting.
Okay.
They can weigh between 6,600 and 13,000 pounds.
13,000 pounds?
I know.
What's 13,000 pounds so we could get our minds around?
I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe a couple of buses?
Okay.
I don't know. But that's like an enormous amount of weight for a shark, I think. So they eat plankton.
Somebody's going to have to talk to that shark about the extra weight they're carrying.
To your point of being obsessed with the teeth of the thing, they are three. There are only three kind of sharks that eat plankton in the meadow that they do. There's a whale shark, these guys, and then something called a megamouth shark.
Nice.
Which I guess, I mean, the basking shark already has a gigantic mouth, so I don't see how the megamouth could be any bigger, but whatever.
It is.
But it is. The basking shark is all over the place, but it prefers to be in subpolar areas. It's not aggressive at all, and they're harmless to divers and snorkelers, but people do get freaked out because they start thinking Jonah and the whale.
Yeah.
Right, because they see the gigantic mouth of the shark. They don't know really very much about mating or reproduction, and I'm guessing maybe that's why they're in that big group. It's like, you know, a scene.
Yeah.
You want to look for a partner, you want to have as many options as possible, and you see 1,400 of your, you know, similar sharks going by, you probably will jump in.
Yeah, it's like a nightclub.
Yeah, it's like a club.
Yeah.
They are often, it says here they can sometimes form schools of up to 100. Obviously, now we know they can get a lot larger than that. And then they are usually scarred because they have some kind of, like, negative encounters with lampreys or something called a cookie cutter shark.
What's that?
I don't know. Something with no imagination, I guess. I have no idea. I've never heard of cookie cutter sharks.
Yeah, it's like a basic shark.
Yeah, basic.
Like pumpkin spice latte.
It's the Becky of sharks is what it is. It's just a shark.
Yeah.
Nothing else. And also, for some reason, they're a vulnerable species. I don't know why. That's terrible. Anyway, so they're heading this way. I would love to. I've only been out to Long Island a couple times. If there's even a chance of seeing a bunch of these sharks out there, I will go.
You will. Okay.
I will take the LIRR, and I will brave Long Island to see some sharks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
we'll go out there.
Not for the cookie cutter shark, though.
Okay.
All right, what do you have?
Well, this is an email from your husband.
Oh, okay. My husband, Greg, is an attorney. He occasionally sends in some news. Sometimes it's legal related.
Yeah, this one is, it's a hey, you didn't know it.
Okay. So, hey, you didn't know it. This is news of the oblivious living among us.
Yes, yes.
Of which there are many.
Yeah. So, some gay Catholic priests commune with hookers.
Huh?
Hey, you didn't know it. Yes, and the article is about a male escort exposes 36 gay priests in a file sent to Vatican containing explicit WhatsApp chats and erotic photos.
A file?
Yeah.
That's so old school. I love it.
Yeah.
Is it like Serpico?
a 1,200-page dossier containing the names of 34 actively gay priests. And
actively gay. So not just, not just passively gay. Are you actively straight?
Like, I know, right?
Actively straight. Practicing straight.
And six seminarians in Italy has been sent to the Vatican by the Archdiocese of Naples.
Mm-hmm.
The allegations were compiled by his name is Francesco M., a gay male escort.
Okay.
Who told local media he couldn't put up with the priest's hypocrisy anymore.
I'm sorry, were they giving him a hard time?
Well, he's sick of...
He's their hooker.
I know. But he's sick of the hypocrisy.
I know, but I'm wondering if some people tried to get, like, you know...
tired of hearing them, like, oh, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that.
As they're zipping up their pants.
Let me absolve you of your sins, you know?
Yes. Wow.
And the aim is not to hurt the people mentioned, but to help them understand that their double life, however seemingly convenient, is not useful to them or to all the people for whom they should be a guide and example to follow.
Nice. Okay.
That's what he's saying.
It's a hooker with a heart of gold.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yes.
So I think the idea that nowadays the people think they can get away with doing anything, this guy, like, took his time and put together a dossier of information. So what's going to happen?
Let's see. An Italian cardinal and the current Archbishop of Naples said in a statement that none of the priests who were named in the dossier were stationed in Naples. He claims he forwarded a document to the Vatican because there remains the gravity of the case for which those who have erred must pay the price.
And what's the price going
to
be?
And be repent for the harm done.
What?
So the file contained explicit WhatsApp messages.
Okay.
Erotic photos and other evidence. But
photos?
Yeah.
Wow.
But none of the 40 priests and seminarians were accused of pedophilia or having sexual relations with minors. This is all adults.
All right. No, this is just gay sex.
So we're talking about sins, not crimes.
Okay. I guess. I mean, this sin is hypocrisy.
Yeah.
The butt sex, I don't care.
So last month, the Italian court issued a 14-month subpoenaed sentence to a Vatican tribunal judge for sexual...
Who has time for all of this? They have their own judges?
I don't know what they're doing. Anyway, no, but this was on to something else. But the thing is, they're not really talking about what they're...
I want names.
They're just going to forgive them.
Yeah.
But so. Because what they're doing is wrong, but they're dudes.
Yeah.
So if they did something to somebody, the victim would be the person who would not be forgiven.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
But these guys would definitely be forgiven.
But immediately. The other ones,
because he who was without sin, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. When it comes to these guys.
Yeah. They'll make something up. And also, too, like, how you're sending it to people who are probably like, you know what? I tell my hoe to be quiet.
Yeah.
What's up with you guys?
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, well, really? we will admonish them. Don't worry.
And this guy was getting around.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, 36 or 40.
I mean, was he getting referrals?
I guess.
This guy's working hard. I hope he can retire off of this because that's a lot of work.
Yeah, but you know what? All the money that they were paying him with was all the donations.
Yeah, because they can't make
church.
Any money,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, so it's church money. It's church money given
to people. Well, at least it's going to a good cause, I guess. Ho's got to eat, too. Like, what else were they going to spend it on? Robes? Wine?
Yeah.
I don't know. Wow. That guy's, I'm sorry, that's the hardest working man in show business, whoever this woman was.
Yeah.
Erotic photos.
Yeah.
Wow. So no one was like, what was that snap I just heard? Oh, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio, and you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying the gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
Cool. So, we like to report on the robopocalypse. It's coming. It's going to happen. But it probably isn't going to happen as quickly. I have a couple here, like robot fails.
From last year.
So, there's three of the worst, or four of the worst things I think I saw last year. I kind of put them together. So, there was a machine called Foldy Mate. So it's gigantic. It looks like it's the size of like a washer dryer, okay. Like one on top of the other. It's huge. It's a clothes folding robot. It costs $1,000. People who tried to use it at the CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, were underwhelmed because you have to feed the clothing in one piece at a time.
Oh my God.
So it's like if you've ever worked retail or if you've been in a retail store, like when someone's tidying up, no one folds faster than a human being. I'm sorry. Yeah, the young people who are working at the Gap, they just go for it. Like 40 sweaters, you can knock them over, you turn around, they're back in their place again. So someone decided that they needed to have this machine, but you have to stand there and feed each piece in. And then guess what? Gets jammed. So now it's one thing, you know, when you're dealing with a printer trying to get the paper. Now imagine getting like a silk shirt.
Out of the jammed.
Or a cashmere sweater.
Out of there. So they have to build a robot to feed in the sweaters and a robot to fix the jam.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have another laundry folding device called Laundroid. And that was $16,000, and this is the size of a refrigerator. People were underwhelmed by that, too.
Yeah.
Just pay people to fold stuff, or put it on a hanger.
Just stop it with those. I mean, exactly.
This is a waste of, like, really, I'm sure there's some very intelligent, hardworking people who worked on these ideas. They could be doing something else. Mm-hmm. Like, they could be coming up with real solutions for problems. Mm-hmm. There's another one we talked about a little bit. Sally, the salad-making robot from Chowbotics.
Mm-hmm.
It's the company.
Sally. The salad-making robot. Okay.
Yeah. Really? It's like, when were these people born? In the 40s? You know what I mean? Like, it makes no sense at all. Sally.
They'd be 78.
Sally, a so-called salad-making robot from Chowbotics, is supposed to bring freshness to the automated food space.
No.
I don't know what it is. Basically, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't chop.
No.
It doesn't wash.
Okay.
It doesn't do anything. It just dispenses a salad. $30,000 for one of those. But you still have to have someone prepare all the stuff.
Yeah. So you need the robot and the people, too.
But now you don't need the robot at all.
Yeah.
Because the guy at the bodega who puts the salad together and then chops it, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
So there's another one, robot pole dancers. I don't know how we missed this one.
Oh, get out.
They looked terrible. Their faces looked like mailboxes. Okay. Like, they had long, protruding faces.
Oh, those things?
Yeah. It was creepy looking. So, actually, there was a strip club in Las Vegas that had robot pole dancers. They said it wasn't a failure, I guess. People showed up. Robots danced. People had drinks. But it's over already. I never heard of it. I looked at the picture. It's creepy. Why would you want to see, surely in a strip club, you want to see ladies.
Yeah.
Or gentlemen.
Oh, yeah, you want to see a human being you shake it.
Yeah, that's the sexy part of it. These things look like they were going to get off the pole and then kill all humans. with their mailbox faces. Oh, really, God. They were creepy. They were creepy. And then the other one.
So are they trying to, like, see, can they dance in a way that replicates the human movement, or how are people going to respond to this?
I don't know. I feel like what people really enjoy seeing in female strippers, I don't know about male strippers, is like the jiggling aspect of it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, like you have to see things shake a little bit and move around.
Right, right.
So, I don't know. People in the picture, it's like the robots were dancing and people were just standing around drinking cocktails.
As listeners, we both just like kind of shook it a little when Jaquetta was like, people like to shake it really
Yeah, people like
fun.
To see jiggling, yeah. Right? And then we reported on this one. It was the robot suitcase. Remember that? So it's a suitcase that follows you around. So here's how it went down. It's called the Puppy One, and it's made by a firm called 90 Fun. Mm-hmm. And it says it's a cross between a Segway and a Samsonite. So I watched some promotional videos of it. And, you know, in the promotional videos, everything always looks perfect. But apparently the problem with this thing is that not only does it run right into anything, mm-hmm. including people, and then it just falls right over.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, really? Really?
They have to do better. They just have to start doing better, or just let's go with the wheelies.
Yeah, just the wheelies are fine. This thing had a remote that you hold, and it follows you because you're holding the remote, or you can control it with a joystick. You don't want me controlling this. I am the worst. If you've ever seen me play a video game, it is terrible.
But it's not going to stop anybody from grabbing it and running off with it.
No.
And then what is it going to do? Like, is suddenly, like, pull, like, back to you? Like a magnet?
I don't know. Yes, attached to the bottom. I have no idea. This is not really a problem. They have porters.
Yeah.
You know, we have wheels in suitcases now that are porters. If you're someone who has mobility issues or you're elderly or you've got a lot of stuff, you can get, you know, a cart or someone to help you.
And you get the little driver.
You don't need...
through the airport.
But I feel like the person who has trouble wheeling their own cart is also going to have a lot of trouble using a joystick.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Like, it's not... you're not making it any better for them whatsoever.
Right. It's just not helpful.
All right. What do you have?
Well, we talked about spirits. We talked about animals.
Okay.
Now let's talk about your spirit animal.
Okay, nice.
Okay. So a spirit animal is another form of a spirit guide.
Okay.
Like a guardian angel, but kind of like an animal form.
Okay. And is it for any particular belief system or?
You can find them throughout different belief systems.
Okay.
Like the Native Americans had them. Even in, like, Harry Potter and that, they had their Patronus, which was kind of like a spirit animal that
okay.
was there.
So this is something that is around.
It's a kind of a thing. It's like, let's see. Spiritual guides present themselves to us however we are willing to see them. And it is natural for many people to connect with their guides through the face of an animal.
Okay.
Okay, so
for me, the wolf shark.
You like the wolf shark.
Yeah.
But you were like, some people find a connection with certain animals.
Yeah.
And
other animals I don't like a bear. I'm like, fuck a bear.
Yeah, fuck a bear. But you like a wolf.
Yeah.
And the wolf has a good connection with you.
Birds,
so that's
I'm like,
probably
not nice.
Your spirit animal. You share some of the same.
I'll take it.
Yeah, you share some of the same qualities and perceptions. And
we like to roam.
Yeah, exactly. So if you don't have one and want to discover it.
Uh-oh.
Then you have to.
This is how to find your
spirit animal.
Okay.
So number one is pay attention to your dreams. Do you dream about a certain animal?
Mm-hmm. Wolves. Like, do you dream about a certain animal?
Yeah, and then number two, think about your past connections.
Okay.
Your spirit animal may have been your favorite animal from growing up or a favorite pet.
Do you have a favorite animal?
I don't. And so that's why
I've never heard you talk about any animals.
No.
Like a dog with clothing.
I like it when animals wear clothes.
Yeah, but
that's anything. It's not anything in particular.
You're not picking one thing in particular, like any animal in a pair of pants.
Yeah. So, it says, pay close attention to the animals in your life, because this may be your guide trying to...
Oh, that I know of.
Yeah. So, I'll tell you what happened.
All right.
And then it says, listen to what animals...
Let me finish.
Number three is, listen to what animals are trying to tell you.
Okay.
So, once you have...
step on my tail.
once you have your spirit animal, think about what you can learn from it.
Okay.
And the benefit of connecting with that spirit animal. All right.
It seems like a lot of work for the animal.
Yeah. So I decided, all right, I'm going to find my spirit animal. Okay. What is it going to be? And I was just like, let's just see what kind of animal I keep seeing in any way, shape, or form. Like
in New Jersey.
No, not even in, like, it doesn't
on
have
TV,
to be on TV, in music,
in magazines,
yeah,
whatever.
And wouldn't you fucking know it, it's a goddamn tortoise.
Oh, no.
No, I was like,
tortoise?
I know.
Oh, that's not good. Maybe it is otherwise. They live a long time.
Yeah, they're supposedly have a lot of good things.
Wherever they go, they're at home. You know?
Yeah.
They're packed.
Yeah, so it's a highly spiritual guide that represents the journey towards wisdom, truth,
the slow journey, in your case. the slow crawl towards truth.
But I was like, that's what I kept seeing, and I was like, no.
Are you sure?
Cool? I'm not sure.
It could be someone else's spirit animal that you're around a lot.
Yeah.
And they're manifesting these turtles. Excuse me, tortoise. I've lowered it.
I know, right?
I made it diminutive.
Yeah, so.
Or then maybe, I don't know, maybe a tortoise is, it's cool.
Yeah, but you have the wolf, which is good.
Yeah, the wolf is all right.
Like if you ever had a bear, which you don't like.
Yeah.
It's a powerful animal. In the spirit guide realm. And the guide is in tune with emotional and physical healing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what that's about.
Okay.
A butterfly, if that's yours, it's a symbol of transformation.
I don't even consider that to be eligible for a spirit animal, for sure.
I know.
What's your
spirit insect?
Yeah, exactly. A spirit insect. Carpenter ant. That's where I go.
Other ones could be like cats. You know, I'd be upset.
Yeah.
As a cat.
That's more of a familiar.
Yeah.
I feel like a cat, a raven, these kind of things.
There's deer and dove. And the frog is a spirit guide of healing.
Huh. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So there's if your spirit animal is a deer,
mm-hmm.
then it's a guide about being sensitive, highly intuitive, and extremely spiritual, and confident and successful.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. So...
spirit animals. So I have something I have to follow up with on the other side of the spectrum for animals. They have created a realistic robot fish.
What?
So I watched the video. So it's kind of a low-tech thing. So it's molded and printed 3D plastic. Inside there's a compressed air tank, so for buoyancy, so it can go up or down. And then it has a control system that looks like it's a Game Boy that they've modified.
Okay.
And basically, it moves like a fish, and they have a camera on the front. And the reason why they invented it, so this isn't people trying to do robotics for the sake of robotics.
Mm-hmm.
These are marine biologists who are tired of scaring the fish. So when they go in to observe the fish, obviously the fish run off, and they can't be sure that the fish aren't just reacting to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they've created this, it's called SOFI, it was short for robotic fish. I think they should have called it Moby Dick. I don't know why. I just thought that would be a fun name.
Yeah.
So I watched the video, and usually I don't like, biomimetics, right?
Okay.
So that's when they try to take inspiration from animals and use that to...
Biomimicry
and biomimetics.
Okay.
Mimicking the shape and movement of real animals. So usually it's creepy, like a worm or a mantis, but the fish one isn't bad.
Oh, no?
Yeah, it looks like, you can tell it's not a real fish, but the other fish... don't care.
Yeah.
It moves very easily through the water. The tail moves it along. Like, it looks legitimate. And the other fish, you know, in the video, you can see the other fish check it out. And they're like, whatever.
Yeah.
Nothing's going on here. I think it's going to be really interesting when it gets eaten.
Oh.
Because that's the true test of, does it look like a fish? Does another fish try to eat it?
Okay.
Or does another fish try to mate with this fish and come up just really disappointed? Right? So they said, we're excited to see that our fish could swim side by side with real fish. They didn't swim away, and which is different when there's a human diver. So it's for studying marine biology, which I think is awesome.
That's really
great. So we can see, because there are a lot of things about that happen in the oceans that we'll never be able to observe, because no fish in his or her right mind
is going to show it with anything.
It's not going to do
observing.
A show.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So especially when it comes to like mating. And if the animals are pregnant or if they're giving birth, like they're not going to do that on Front Street.
Exactly.
As it were. Or Coral Street or whatever they call it in the fish world. So I thought this was cool. And there's a really cool video, and it's from MIT. Usually I scoff at the stuff that comes out of there because I'm like, search and rescue, whatever. But these guys are like, no, it's just to observe fish. So thumbs up, or fins up, I guess.
Two fins up.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
I'm very, you know, in general, I'm a very liberal person, open-minded. When it comes to animals, I'm like, no. Like, some animals. So I'll be watching a documentary on, like, wolves, and they start showing bears. I'm like, you know what? That's not what I came here for. I will turn it off. And if the birds come on, Greg is like, this isn't going to last. Like, even one nest, one egg, and I'm like, I'm out of here. This is not what I'm here for. You got to get that to fish.
Give that skeleton with feathers. No thanks. Yes, that's not my thing.
Not interested.